Alright, we'll start. New parak. Top of Lamed Hey on the Dalav. Ketzad Mevarkin Alamus. What is the bracha that we make on fruit? Apera Sa'ilan Hu Umar Bre Priya Eitz, says the Mishnah. On fruits of the tree we say Vore Priya Eitz. Chutz Min Hayayin, with the exception of wine. Sha'al Hayayin Hu Umar Bore Priya Gofen. On wine gets its own bracha, we say Brei Priya Gofen. So Rashi already points out over here, Chutz min hayayin, shemitoch chashivuso, kavu lo bracha la'atzmo. Because wine is exceptionally important, so we go ahead and establish, it gets its own bracha, v'chein apas. Similarly with bread. Okay, so the Mishnah goes on, shaliyayin omer Brei Priya Gofen, va'al peros ha'aretz, and regarding fruits of the earth, hu omer borei peri ha'adama. Bracha Brei Priya Adama, chutz min hapas, the exception of bread, sha'al hapas hu omer hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Ve'al hayirakos, what about vegetables? Omer borei priya adama. One also says the bracha borei priya adama. Rabbi Huda omer borei minei dishoim. Rabbi Huda holds that no, the bracha is not borei priya adama. The bracha is borei minei dishoim. So we'll say, what's desha? So if you remember again, dishoim, we see this already in Bereishis. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world, so the Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu covered the earth with desha. Herbage, or greenery. So what's the pshat? What is Rabbi Yehuda coming to be mechalek on? So if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, borei minei dishoim, lefi sheyesh bechlal pri ha'adama, dishoim, uzeroim, kigon kitnios, Rabbi Yehuda boy heker bracha lechol minumin. So Rabbi says, we're going to see, the operative concept when it comes to brachos is specificity. The more specific the bracha, the greater praise towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why, although we'll see that technically speaking, one can make a shahakal on everything, but to give proper shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say we have a shahakal, but we also have ha'eitz, ha'adama, mizonos, ha'motzi. Rabbi Huda therefore holds that the bracha of ha'adama is too generic. It's too generic, because he holds ha'adama applies to everything that grows from the ground, but in reality, there are different types of things that grow from the ground each and every day. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, he likes to go with borei minei dishoim. Now, dishoim doesn't cover all things that grow from the ground. Dishoim, as we'll see in the Gemara, covers certain things like, we'll call it, green items that grow from the ground. But other things like legumes, right, Rabbi Yehuda would give a different bracha to. The point that the Mishnah is bringing down over here is, we already begin to see the beginnings of a fundamental machlokes regarding what degree of specificity one needs within bracha, says the Gemara. How do we know? From where do we know this? Now, this that the Gemara is referring to is the concept of a bracha. Right? So the Gemara says that halacha lemaisa, we go ahead and we make a bracha before eating something. So the Gemara says, from where do we know that we make a bracha before we eat something? So the Gemara says, the Tana Rabbanan, because the rabbis thought, Kodesh Hilulim Nahashem. So we'll say the pasuk over here that the Gemara is quoting is the pasuk in Vayikra, Ubashana Harevi, it's in the fourth year, Yehiyeh Kol Pirio Kodesh Hilulim Nahashem. Every fruit should be Kodesh Hilulim Nashem. So what's the pshat with that? So remember, we know that when you plant a tree and you have fruit from the tree, the first 3 years is Arla. Right? The first 3 years, you're not permitted to go and partake of the fruit. What's the status of the fourth year? So the fourth year, we have this concept of Nata Revai. Nata Revai says, the fruit is yours to eat, but it has almost a Meister Shini-like quality to it. The same way that we know that Meister Sheni is one of the tithes that you take. The food is yours, but you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. So the fourth year of a tree is called Kerem Revai. Not to Revai, so we'll see exactly what it applies to. We'll call it Revai. Right now we'll just call it Revai. Fourth year fruit, which Halacha Lamaisa has sanctity in that you can eat it, but as you eat in Yerushalayim. So this is the post that the Gemara is quoting over here. So the Tana Rabbana, Kol v'shilul l'mahashem, melamed, we learn out from this, Shetu'unim bracha lifneihem ula acharehem. We learn from here that food requires a bracha beforehand as well as afterwards. So we'll say, where does the Gemara learn that from? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi points out over here, Kodesh Hilulim, Binata Revai Ksiv, Umashma Shnei Hilulim Ton Ba'achilaso Kishatechlono B'shar HaRevias Shumutr Ba'achila. So the Gemara makes a very interesting drasha over here. The Gemara says, Kodesh Hilulim. Now, Hilulim is plural, right? It's Kodesh, and it requires Hallels. So the Gemara says, what are the Hilulim, what are the Hallels that the Gemara is referring to over here, that Torah is referring to over here? It must refer to a bracha before you eat it, and after you eat it. So from here, says the Gemara, this is the source for a concept of bracha before and after. So Rabbi Akiva said, based on this, that a person is not permitted to eat anything before he eats. Right? Before, excuse me. A person is not permitted to eat anything before he makes a bracha. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Is that phrase, Kodesh Shilulim, used to teach us bracha before and afterwards? So the Gemara says, 1 second. Those two Hilulim, or the two Hallels in Hilulim, are used to teach us a totally different idea. Number one, first Hilul teaches us Achle, Vahadar Achle, that you have to first redeem it, and then only afterwards are you permitted to go ahead and eat it. Like we said before, Avosai, that Nata Revai, that Revai, fourth year fruit, has to be redeemed like Maaser Sheni. You have to transfer the sanctity, let's say, onto money or into something else, and then you could go ahead and eat it. So we'll see, I have to understand something. What the Gemara is doing over here is, both in Biblical Hebrew as well as in Aramaic, Ahei and Dechas are somewhat interchangeable. So Hilulim could actually also be read as what? As Hilulim. So the Gemara darshins, we use that Kodesh Hilulim for something else. So Hilul, or Hilul number one, is that you first have to redeem the revived fruit before you go ahead and eat it. The Idach, and the second Hilul, Dover haton shira ta'on chilo, v'she'eno ta'on shira ain't ta'on chilo. Furthermore, we learn from the second hilo that what? Only an item that requires shira has the process of redemption, but an item that does not require shira does not require redemption. What is that talking about? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says, if you look, it's in the middle of that Rashi, Haimi Boyle. V'chad l'landecha shlo ne'emra toras revai, ela bekerem, shene'emar kodesh shilulim davar shemahalilin bo, ta'un chilu zehu yayin. So the Gemara uses the second hilu right now to teach us that only something that is the subject of hilu requires chilu. Only something that shira is said upon has to be redeemed. What's an item that shira is set upon? Specifically refers to wine. Wine. Now, what does it mean shira is set upon? So remember, Karbanos had something called Nisachim, had wine libations. And when the wine libations were poured, that was when the Levim sang shira. So the Gemara is saying, I don't understand how you're using the pasuk of Kodesh Hilulim to teach you a bracha before you eat and a bracha after you eat, when Kodesh Hilulim is already taken. The double Hilul teaches us two different things. Number one, first Hilul slash Hilul teaches us that before you eat Revah, you have to redeem it. And Hilul number two teaches us that the only object that requires Hilul is that which is used for Hilul, i.e. wine. So according to this approach also, Revai only applies to grapes and to no other fruit. So the Gemara says, Ukid Rab Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Dar Rab Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Minayin she'in om shira ela alayayin. How do we know that we only say shira? That really what it means when we say we. It means the Levim say shira in the Beis HaMikdash over wine. Shine emar. Because the pasuk says, quoting from Shoftim, "Vatomer lahem hagefen hechdalti estiroshi hamisameach Elokim vaanoshim." So the Gemara says, "I understand im anoshim misameach. I understand that wine makes people happy. Elokim bima misameach. But how exactly does wine make God happy? Mikan she'in omrim shira." From here, what do we see? That halacha lemaisa, we only say shira on wine. Let's see, shira on wine. So the Gemara says, "Hani chalaman detani nata revai, elaman detani kerem revai, ma'ika lemeimar." So now the Gemara goes back to Rabosai. So now this whole drasha of kodesh hilulim lashem. So let's keep our steps in mind. So the Gemara wanted to suggest. The Mishnah introduced us the concept of a bracha. The Gemara says, where does the concept of a bracha come from? The Gemara answers, Pasik Kodesh Hilulim Nahashem, double Hilul, the double Hilul, two Hilul's representing two brachos, one before, one afterwards. So now the Gemara tells us, well, All of this drasha makes sense if you hold not to Ravai versus Ken Ravai. What does that mean? So we just mentioned before that there's a machlokes as to what the fourth year concept applies to. Does it just apply to grapes, or does it apply to all fruits? Right? All fruits. So now the Gemara is saying like this. If you hold that it applies to all fruits, then what? Then the pasuk, or then the drasha of Kodesh Shilulim Hashem works well. But if you hold that Revai only applies to grapes, then you don't have that pasuk available to make your drasha about brachos. Why? Because that pasuk is otherwise used to teach us the details of Kerem Revai. So the Gemara says, one said that the concept of fourth year fruits only applies to the vineyard, only applies to wine, of grapes. V'chad tani not the revai, and the other understands that no, the concept of revai applies to all fruits. So the Gemara says, ulaman did tani kerem revai. So even the one who holds that it applies to grapes. So what I remember. Follow our flow over here. If you hold Kerem Revai, then is the pasuk of Kodesh Hilulim available to you to make a drasha for brachos? No, because then the pasuk of Kodesh Hilulim is used to extrapolate different details regarding Kerem Revai. But the Gemara says, well, maybe not, because Ulaman Datani Kerem Revai, Hanicha Iyalef Gezer Shava. If you could learn out certain elements of, bless you, of Kerem Revai, bless you, of Gezer Shava, then that might free up one of the Kodesh Hilulim. He says, Desanya, Rebbe Omer, Ne'emar kan lahosif lachem tevuaso. It says over here, right? The Torah is talking about over here. Ubashana hachamishis tochlu espirio lahosif lachem tevuaso. Ve'ne'emar lahalon utvuas hakerem. Ma lahalan kerem, afkam kerem. So therefore, the Gemara says, well, we could use this gzeir shava to teach us that just as lahosif lachem tevuaso, just like over there, right? I'm sorry. Ne'emar kan lahosif lachem tevuaso. It says over here. What over here means when the Torah discusses what you do with your produce in the fifth year, right? So in first 3 years it's Arla, fourth year it's not the Revai, fifth year the Torah says the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you a blessing and all the fruit is yours. So of course the ambiguity when it comes to Revai is the fact that the Torah just says Tevua so. Now Tevua could mean grain or Tevua could mean growths, but the Gemara says, you know, elsewhere we find the word Tevua as referring to what? As referring to a kerem, as referring to a vineyard. So the Gemara says, maybe we can make a gzeir shava. Ma lahalan kerem, just like over there. Tevuas hakerem refers to a vineyard. Afkan kerem. So too over here when it says, in the fifth year produce, lahosef lachem tevuaso, it also means kerem. The Rabbo said, why does that help us? Because if that's the case, iyaser lechad hilul lebracha. If that's the case, then what? That frees up the second Kodesh Hilulim. Because remember, what was the second Kodesh Hilulim used for? The second Kodesh Hilulim was used for to teach us that only something that requires Shira requires Hilul. But something that doesn't require Shira doesn't. So that's how we learned out that it applies to grapes. Well, now we can learn out from the Gzeir Shava that it applies to grapes. If that's the case, it frees up one of the Hilulim, and you can at least use one of the Kodesh Hilulim to teach you the concept of Bracha prior to eating. So the Gemara says, V'ilo yolof Gzeir Shava, Bracha minole. So the Gemara says, and by the way, if let's go worst case scenario, let's say you don't hold of the Gzeir Shava, and let's say you do hold that the concept of Revai then applies only to grapes, in which case then you need the pasuk of Kodesh Hilulim to teach you the details regarding your kerem. So then where in fact do you learn out the concept of bracha rishona? Where do you learn out the concept of making a bracha before you eat? So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, and even if you would learn out the Gzeir Shava, that only frees up one Kodesh Hilulim. One Kodesh Hilulim teaches you what? Bracha beforehand. It only teaches you the bracha afterwards. Lefanav minayin. Where do you learn out the bracha beforehand? See, Rabbi say, if you only have one Kodesh Hilulim, by definition, we're going to apply that to the after bracha and not to the prior bracha. Why? Because we have biblical precedent for an after bracha. What's the biblical precedent for the after bracha? Birkas HaMazon, the Achalta V'Savata. So we only know right now that that applies to Svia, which Dafka is by grain. So if you only have one Kol Yishalim, you're only going to apply to the fact that maybe after grapes, you're going to make a Bracha Achrona. How do I know about a Bracha Rishona? So the Gemara says, Halo Kasha. That's not a question. The Asya B'Kavachomer, because I can learn that in a Kavachomer. What's the Kavachomer? Kishehu Saveya Mevarech. If a person makes a Bracha when they are full, Kishehu Roev Lo Kol Shekin. Then all the more so, a person should make a bracha when they're hungry. So the Gemara, was going to ask later on what exactly type of kal v'chomer is that. But all right, for now we're gonna go with it. Right? So if a person goes in and thanks Hashem, the idea behind the kal v'chomer is when a person's already satiated, so the urgency is not there. So if a person feels a sense of gratitude when they're satiated, then of course all the more so when the person feels the acute pangs of hunger, then of course a person's going to say a bracha. All right. So the Gemara says, Ashkechon Kerem. Send all I know right now. So remember, we'll say, if you go with the fact that Kodesh Hilulim, or that Revai, applies to Kerem. So now all I've learned out is the fact that grapes require a bracha before and afterwards. Shar Minin Minayin. Where do I learn out from all other foods that they require a bracha beforehand? So the Gemara says, Diyalef Mikerem. Ah, we learn them out from the vineyard. Ma Kerem, Davar Shenehneh. Tone bracha, just like a vineyard is something that a person gets hana'ah from, and you have to make a bracha. Af kol davar shenehneh tone bracha. So to anything else from which you get benefit, you must make a bracha. So the Gemara says, one second, that's not necessarily a good comparison. Ika lemifrach, because maybe kerem is not the best comparison to all other foods. Why? You could bring a pircha. Pircha means a question that would ultimately uproot the kal v'chomer. Ma lekerem shekin chayiv ba'ololos. True, this vineyard is a totally different animal. Because a vineyard, it's actually just last week's parasha. So vineyard, right? Vineyard is chayiv in olos. What's olos? That if you have a worker in your vineyard, so the halacha is you have to leave the little clusters of grapes. It's kind of like a peah type of idea, just like you leave a corner of your field for the poor. So in vineyards, you're not going to leave a corner, but you leave the smaller clusters on the vine. So the Gemara says, so maybe you can't compare carrots to other types of food, because kerem, you see, has these unique aspects, like leaving the ololos. So the Gemara says, kama tochiach. So grain will prove our point, because remember, by grain, we already have the concept of bracha, namely, v'achalta, v'savata, u'beirachta. That's the juxtaposition. Rashi points out that by grain, the Torah says, tochal ba'lechem, and then afterwards it says, v'achalta, v'savata, u'beirachta. So maybe we'll say that just like by grain, by bread, you have to make a bracha. So too by other foods, you have to make a bracha as well. Food Gemara says, not necessarily. Grain also has a unique aspect to it in that what? In that you're chayev to give challah to the kohen. So the Gemara says, kerem yochiach. Okay, so let's go back to kerem. So the Gemara says, you know what? V'chazra din. This could go around in circles. And the bottom line is, lo ri'izeh k'ri'izeh, v'lo ri'izeh k'ri'izeh. The truth is, these things are truly dissimilar. They're truly dissimilar. So what is the common denominator? So what is the common denominator? Davar shenene v'ta'on bracha. The common denominator, let's say, between kerem and kama, is that what? Both are things from which you derive benefit, and yet both are things from which we know there's an obligation of a bracha. Therefore, we could extrapolate from these two things and create a rule. What's the rule? Af kol davar shenene, ton bracha. So to any item from which you get benefit requires a bracha. So the Gemara says, one second. Why don't you say that the common denominator between these two things is that what? They both have, tzad mizbeach means they both have a relationship to the altar. What does that mean? I'll say both of these things are things that are brought as sacrificial items. Wine is brought, we said before, as nesachim libations. And wheat, of course, as a staple of your menachos, right? As a staple of your mincha offering. So the Gemara says, "Va'asi nami zayis is beit tzad mizbeach." And they, okay, so if that's the case, that maybe in order to get a bracha, in order to be required in bracha, you have to have some kind of relationship with the mizbeach. Good. I could add in there olives also, because of also, right? Oil is also used on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, "V'zayis mitzad mizbeach osi." That's how you want to include olives in this parasha of brachos, because it has a relation to the mizbeach. You don't even need to do that. We could do even better, meaning olives themselves are called a kerem, right? They're called a vineyard. Dichsiv vayivar megadish vad kama vaad kerem zayis. So Rabbi Ofsai, you could include olives in the concept of bracha even easier, because say that they're subsumed under the umbrella of kerem. So the Gemara says, no. Rapapa, Amra Papa, Kerem Zayis Ikri, Kerem Stama Lo Ikri. No, because olives are not called Stam Kerem, they're called Kerem Zayis. So because of that, they can't be learned out from the regular rule concerning a Kerem. So the Gemara says, Miko Makum Kasha, but at the end of the day, okay, let's get back to our regularly scheduled program over here. Right, we're still trying to figure out exactly how we know about brachos for everything. So the Gemara says, Maila Atzala Sheva Shebaim, Shekin Yeshban Sad Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're back to our original question, or back to our original assertion, which was maybe the common denominator among all of the different foods that require brachos is that what? Is that they have some relationship to the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, no, let's try a different approach. Elo diyolif le mishivas haminim. Let's learn out the concept of bracha from the shivas haminim. The shivas haminim. Ma shivas haminim. Because you also remember, shivas haminim are also said in proximity to be'achalta v'savato u'be'rachta. So therefore, why don't we say that shivas haminim serves as the paradigm for brachos? So the Gemara says, ma shivas haminim shedavar shenei neveton bracha. I've called davar shenei neveton bracha. And why don't we say, just like the seventh piece, and Rambam said, the beauty of this approach is, the shivas haminim encompasses a larger swath of food items. You have fruits, you have grain, you have derivatives, like for example, divash, right? Divash ultimately is the derivative, at least from the shivas haminim. It doesn't refer to bee honey. It refers to date honey. So the Gemara says, so now we have a larger spectrum with which to work from. And why don't we say that the same way that halacha lemaisa, the shivas haminim is something from which you get benefit from, shenei neton bracha, so to any other item that you get benefit from requires a bracha. So the Gemara says, 1 second, mal shivas haminim shkin chayavim bebikurim. But Shivas Haminim is also different. Why? It has the obligation of first fruits, Bikurim, Va'od, Hatenach Lefanov. Hatenach La'acharov, Lefanov Minayim. Furthermore, remember, all you're establishing is the obligation for a bracha after you eat. From where do you know the concept of a bracha before you eat? To which the Gemara says, Halo Kashi da Asi B'Kavachomer. We can learn the Kavachomer. What's the Kavachomer? Kishuhu Saveya Mevarech. So the Gemara says, right, that's our Kavachomer from before. If you're going to make a bracha when you're satiated, of course you're going to make a bracha when you're hungry. Uleman de tani nata revai, hatenach kol dover netia. Delav bar netia, kigon basar, beitzim vidagim minole. So the Gemara says, now let's skip back. This whole time we've been focusing on the Kerem Revai school of thought. Because the Kerem Revai, we thought they give us the biggest problem because they use the Kodesh Shilulim to teach us details of Kerem Revai. We've assumed this whole time that if you hold not the Revai, that the fourth year concept applies to all fruits, then the truth is, you've got it made because you could use the positive of Kodesh Shilulim, double Hilul, one to teach you Bracha before, one to teach you Bracha afterwards. So the Gemara says, 1 second, even if you hold of not the Revai, that the fourth year obligation applies to all fruits, in which case then you could use the pasuk Kodesh Hilulim, two hilos teach you one bracha before, one bracha afterwards. The Gemara says you're still stuck with a fundamental question, which is what? That only teaches you the concept of bracha, legabe, something that grows from the ground. What about a bracha on everything else? Like the Gemara says, what about meat? What about eggs? What about fish that don't grow from the ground? Where do you learn the bracha from that? To which the Gemara says something amazing. Ella svaro. The Gemara says, you're right. The concept of bracha, in fact, at the end of the day, after you go through this entire exercise, the Gemara says, in fact, the concept of bracha is not learned out. Bracha Rishona is not learned out from a pasuk. It's logical. What's the logic? Asr lo la adam shiyena min ha'olam hazeh below bracha. The concept of bracha Rishona is not learned out from a pasuk. It's learned out from svara. The world belongs to God, and you don't take things that belong to other people without permission. If I don't do it to my neighbor, kavachomer ben beno shel kavachomer, then I don't do it to the ribono shel olam. So if I want to enjoy his world, I must ask permission from him. Ten rabbanon. Asr lo adam shenam in olam zeb lo brachas. Now the Gemara is very excited about this because now we've finally answered our question as to what's our source for bracha. So now that we've established this concept that a person is not permitted to benefit from this world without a bracha, v'chala nenem in olam zeb below bracha ma'al. And I will say literally, if a person goes ahead and benefits from this world without making a bracha, it's as if one has committed mi'ila. What's mi'ila? Mi'ila is prohibited use of consecrated property. So the same way I wouldn't go over to the Beis HaMikdash lumberyard, right? The Beis HaMikdash has some wood sitting in its courtyard. I wouldn't go and take that wood and build myself a deck, because ultimately that is misappropriation of temple property. So too, to take an apple and to go and bite into it without making a bracha is a misappropriation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's property. So the Gemara says, "My takante." So what should you do? Let's say you messed up, you committed mi'ila. So what should you do? So the Gemara says, "Yetzel etzel chacham." You should go to a wise person; he'll teach you brachos. So the Gemara says, "Yelech etzel chacham." My avidle, ha avidle yisure. So what am I supposed to do? I already ate the apple. So what good is going to go to the chacham? So look what the Gemara says. Such profound advice. Ela amar Rava, yelech etzel chacham meikara v'yelamdenu brachos. So Yavo say, success in life is always about getting in front of the problem. Einachinami, if you've already eaten the apple, you're already too late. So what's the goal in life? The goal in life is get yourself to a chacham early. Get yourself to a chacham before the problem comes up, so that the chacham ultimately, get yourself a Rebbe who's going to teach you ultimately what to do, so you can avoid all of these other issues. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmua, kol nena mina olam azeb lo bracha, kilu nena mikotchen shemayim. Anyone who benefits from this world without a bracha, it's as if he has benefited. Kodshei Shamayim means benefiting from this world, eating food from this world without a bracha, is no different than partaking of karbonos that are off limits to you. Shene emar, l'hashem ha'aretz umlo'o. Because the Pasuk says that the world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reb Levi Rami Ksiv. Reb Levi contrasts the two psukim. On one hand, it says l'hashem ha'aretz umlo'o. Uksiv ha'shamayim shamayim l'hashem va'aretz nasan libnei adam. So the Gemara, so Reb Levi contrasts these psukim. On one hand, it says that the earth belongs to God. And then it says, another Pasuk says, the heavens belong to God, the earth belongs to man. The Gemara says, "Lo kashya." Listen to this: "Kan koldim bracha, kan liachar bracha." So the Gemara says, "Not a contradiction. One is before a bracha, one is after a bracha. Before the bracha, everything belongs to God. After the bracha, or the bracha is the mechanism, is the vehicle by which man redeems the world in order to go ahead and use it. Man redeems the world from God in order to use it for his own personal use." Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, "Kol anan me'al mezeb la bracha, kilu goes like Hashem Baruch Hu kenesis Yisrael." Rabbi Chanina bar Papa said that whoever goes ahead and benefits from this world without a bracha, it's as if he's stealing from God and from the Jewish people. Shne emar, gozil aviv v'imo, va'omer ein pesha, chaver hu li'ish mashlis. So the Gemara says, one who steals from his father and his mother and says that he is not to be blamed, he is a friend to the destructive man. Ve'ein aviv, who is the father? Ela kadosh baruch hu, shne emar, halo hu avicha konecha, ve'ein imo, ela kenesis Yisrael. Who is the mother? The mother is the Jewish people. Shne emar, shma b'ni musar avicha, va'al titosh toras imecha. Hear, my son, the Musar of your father, and don't forsake the Torah of your mother. My chaver hu li'ish mashlis. What does it mean if you go ahead and you partake of this world without making a bracha, that you are a friend of the destructive man? Am Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, chaver hu li'ravam ben Nevat. He is a friend of Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat was the first king of the splintered kingdom of the Jewish people. After Shlomo HaMelech dies, his son Rechavam takes over. During the days of Rechavam, there is a split between what we call Malchus Yudah, Malchus Yisrael. Yeravam ben Nevat was the first king of Malchus Yisrael, a horrific Russia, who went ahead and ensured that he forbade Aliyah L'Regel, but the way he made it stick was he created golden calves. And he put golden calves all along the border of Yehuda and Yisrael. And he said to the people, no need to be Ola Regel, everything you need is here. So again, Shehishchis es Yisrael Avim Sheba Shamayim, that he destroyed the relationship between the Jewish people and their father in heaven. So also this, the Marashot just points out just quickly that it's interesting. You understand if one goes ahead and partakes of this world without a bracha, we understand why it's like stealing from God, because property belongs to God. You have to redeem it before you use it. But how is it stealing from the Jewish people? So the Marashah says something amazing. The Marashah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only renews the resources in this world if man appreciates that it comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. God is happy to give us gifts, but the only thing He wants of us is He wants the gifts to bring us closer to Him. He wants the world to be able to be a bridge to understand the divine. The moment that man uses this world in a totally unholy way and does not appreciate that what he has from HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't need to renew the resources for this. The lack of renewal of resources ultimately impacts not just me, but impacts the rest of Klal Yisrael as well. Why the Gemara doesn't say the rest of humanity is a different discussion. But the point over here is the Gemara is trying to highlight is that this lack of making brachos, which represents a lack of appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't just impact my relationship with God, but it impacts my relationship with Klal Yisrael as well. On this Gemara. So Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Ramiksiv. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa contrasts the two psukim. V'lakachti digoni bi'ito. I will go ahead and I will collect my wheat in its time. Uksiv v'asafta diganecha. And it says, you will collect your wheat. So here's what Mishnah Rabbah says. So the first pasuk sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go ahead and collect the wheat for us, versus the second pasuk that makes it sound like we have to collect our wheat ourselves. So the Gemara says, Lo kashya, kan bizman she Yisrael osin ratzono shel makom, kan bizman she ein Yisrael osin ratzono shel makom. So the Gemara says, it's not a contradiction. The Pesukim are talking about two different states. When the Jewish people go ahead, excuse me, let me say it differently, where I skipped ahead a little bit. V'akachti digani bi'ito, the wheat is being called God's wheat, versus v'asata diganecha, when it's being called our wheat. So the Gemara says it's not a contradiction. When we do the will of God, then ultimately the wheat belongs to us. When we don't do the will of God, then ultimately the world and its produce belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's if you take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Bizman she'osin ritzono, hadagon shalahem. When we do the will of God, the wheat is ours. Ukshein osin ritzono, not lo umar lahem shehu shalo. When we don't perform the will of God, then ultimately the wheat belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tan Rabbanon, ve'asavta diganecha. Ma tamud lomar. So when the Torah says you shall, so this is right, we read this pasuk every day. Ba'asavta diganecha, you will collect your grain. So the Gemara says, ma tamud lomar. Meaning, why do I need that? Why do I need that? So you want to say, it's actually an interesting shayla. So the Torah is talking about over here the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go ahead and give us our rains in the appropriate time. Minasati mitaritzachan bi'ito, yore umalkosh, v'asavta diganecha, you will collect your wheat. Why does the Torah need to say that you'll collect your wheat? Just tell me that it's going to mean the whole point of it is you're going to have rains in the right time. Obviously, I'm not going to leave my wheat in the field. Why ve'asavta diganecha? So this is amazing. So the Gemara says, Matam lomar, lefi shene'emar, lo yomosh sefer HaTorah zemi picha. So I might have thought the following, because we have another pasuk. Right? The pasuk in Yoshua says that literally, Torah should never cease from your mouth. Which makes it sound like what? That a person should be constantly preoccupied with the study of Torah. Yochol dvarim kich savan. So I might have thought that literally, a person should simply devote their lives fully learning Torah, to the exclusion of any kind of parnasa, to the exclusion of any kind of livelihood. Says the Gemara, therefore the Torah tells us, Tamud lomar v'asavta diganecha. Therefore, no. V'asavta diganecha is what? Is a mandate to work. Hinhag bahen minag derech eretz divi Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says, "Va'asafta diganecha," is the Torah telling us that work is not a bidiyeved, but work is lechatkila. Yes, you have to learn, but va'asafta diganecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu also wants us to work and also to reap the fruits of our labor. That's Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael ben Yochai Omer. Rabbi Yishmael ben Yochai says, "No way." Efshar adam chorish b'shas charisha. Think about this. If a person is going to be occupied with plowing at the time of plowing, v'zareh b'shas ria, and seeding at the time of seeding, v'kotzeh b'shas k'tzira, and reaping at the time of reaping, v'dash b'shas disha, and threshing at the time of threshing, v'zoreh b'shas ruach, and winnowing at the time of the wind, Torah matehe aleha. So Rav Shimon Yochai says, I don't understand. If a person has to go to work, you know what the amazing part about work is? Takes a lot of your day, right? So if a person is going to end up working, then when is a person going to have time for Torah? Ella, bizman shi Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom, malachto na'asis ayidei achirim. But rather, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, when the Jewish people do the will of God, God orchestrates it so that their work is done through others. Shne'emar va'amdu zarim uru'ut sonchem. That strangers, right? Zarim in this case means the Gentile nations of the world will get up and shepherd your sheep. Ubizman she'en Yisrael osin utzon ha'shamakom. Melachta na'asis ayde atzman. And when we don't fulfill the will of God, then yes, the punishment is we have to work on our own. Shne'emar v'yasavta diganecha. So interesting, Rav Shimon bar Yochai actually sees the phrase of v'yasavta diganecha as what? As a punishment, which of course is textually difficult, because what's the Paul paragraph? V'haya im shamoa tishmu'u el mitzvosai. Okay, it's a kasha. Ela, v'lo old, not only that, ela shemalachas acherim na'asis al yodan. Not only that, but if we don't fulfill the will of God, not only do we have to do our own work, but what? We have to do the work of others. Shina emar, v'avarata oseidecha. Shavosai, you should just know, you should really underline this, because this machlokes is a fundamental machlokes that has been within the ranks of our people from the time we become people until this very day, in terms of how we view work. So is work a b'di'eved that's only done, like Rav Shimon bar Yochai, you have to learn to exclusion of everything else? Or do we say, no, work is not a b'di'eved, work is a l'chatchila. And then ultimately, our job in life is to find the balance between our work and ultimately our learning. So this is the fundamental machlokas. I'll just point out, it is interesting that Rav Shimon bar Yochai is the proponent of the pure learning. Rav Shimon bar Yochai was a Meshunadika personality, meaning he was almost not of this world. Remember, Shlomo Yochai was the one who was living in the cave, subsisting on boxer, right? So when he comes out of the cave, he's incensed in the fact that people are working, right? And that they're forsaking Torah. So Shlomo Yochai was a person whose entire life was Torah. So look how the Gemara ends. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, harbe osu kedivir Rabbi Yishmael, va'al sabiyadan. Many people have adopted Rabbi Shmuel's approach of finding a balance between work and learning, v'al sabiyadan. And you know what? It's worked out very well for them. Rav Shimon ben Yochai, below al sabiyadan. Many people have tried Rav Shimon ben Yochai, and it does not work for them. So also, Rechem Shmulev Ezechet Tzadik Levracha brings down that it's very important to understand the Gemara. The problem is, harbe asuk Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Rav Shimon ben Yochai never espoused this approach for the masses. This approach might be appropriate for yechidim, for select individuals who are going to devote their time to learning, but not learning as an ends, learning as a means to assume leadership positions within the Jewish people. The problem is harbe, that segment, that a lot of people try this. Obviously, a lot of people can't do this, because if a lot of people do this, what happens? It's not a self-sustaining system. It's not, we struggle with this problem today. It's not going to work. You can't have large segments of society not working and expect somehow that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to swoop down and take care of us. So the Gemara just sort of, Chaim Shlomitz points out over here that the operative phrase over here is harbe. Many people tried the Rabbi Shmuel approach and it's work. Many people tried the Rabbi Shmuel Yochai approach and it didn't work. Why? Because it was harbe. For select individuals, absolutely it's appropriate. Amar li Rava the Rabbanan, b'matosu min aichos, listen to this. So Rava used to say to his students, I beg of you, b'yomei Nisan, u'b'yomei Tishrei, lo tischazu kamarbosa. Listen to this. You will never hear these words from me. But Rava said it. So Rava said to his students, I beg of you, in Nisan and in Tishrei, don't come to the Beis Medrash. Right? So what was happening in Nisan and Tishrei? Nisan and Tishrei are harvest seasons. Right? Harvest seasons for grain and for fruit. If you're a farmer, you're excused during Nisan and Tishrei. But it doesn't mean you're not in farming, you have to come. So these were harvest seasons for grain and for fruits of the tree. So Rava used to say to his students, don't come to yeshiva during harvest season. Get to work. Such profound insight. Rava felt better to go ahead and take 2 months off yeshiva and devote yourself to your parnasa, so that what? When you're in yeshiva the rest of the year, you can focus on it. As opposed to trying to devote yourself to learning, when then you're going to be preoccupied worrying about your parnasa, where your learning is not going to be that effective anyway. Amar Rav bar Barchana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishun Rav Yehuda bar Rabbi Eloi. See how earlier generations are not like the latter generations. Or I should say, see how the latter generations are not like the earlier generations. Doros Harishonim Osta Torah San Keva Umalach Donarai. In earlier generations, Torah was their fixed practice, and work was their secondary practice. Now, also, remember, what does that mean? That doesn't have to refer, that doesn't have to be a quantitative statement. It's not, it could mean that they learned more than they worked. That is possible. But even without going down that road, what it means is that Torah was the fixture. Torah was the thing that was important, and the work was of secondary importance. And what happened? Zuvazunis kaima biyadan. They were able to be successful in Torah, and they were able to be successful in their work. Doros ha'achronim, but latter generations, sha'asu melachton keva, they made their work of primary importance, v'torasan arai, and the truth is they still learn, but the Torah is of secondary importance, zu v'zu lo niskaima biyadan. They've been successful in neither. I will say what the Gemara is describing, what Rabbi Bar Rachan is describing over here is priorities. Right? Doros ha'achronim, they had to work just as hard as we work. But the difference is they had a different priority system. That no matter how many hours they were working, that wasn't the essence of their life. The essence of their life was the Torah they got to learn. And because of that, they were successful in everything they did. Doros ha'achronim, later generations, had messed up priorities. Work became the priority, Torah became secondary, and guess what? They were unsuccessful in both. See how latter generations are not like the earlier ones. Doros ha'rishonim, hayu machnisim pirosei and derech traksimon, kedei lechaivan b'maiser. Earlier generations would purposely go ahead and bring in their produce through the front door in order to obligate it in Meiser. Also, we spoke about this on Sunday. That produce only becomes chayiv in Meiser once it's roa p'nei abayis, once it comes into the house. So earlier generations would go out of their way in order to make their produce chayiv in Meiser. Doros ha'achronim, what do the latter generations do? Machnis and perosein derech gagos, derech hatzeros, derech karfifios, kedei lepachron min ha'Meiser. But you know what latter generations do? They're bringing in their produce through the roof, through the courtyard, through all different circuitous routes in order to what? In order to avoid Meiser. The Amar Rabbi Yanai, Eina Tevel Mischayi B'Meiser Ashir P'nei Abayis, because Rabbi Yanai said that untithe produce, Tevel, does not become Chayiv in Meisros until it sees the front of the house, comes in the front door, Shin Amar, B'yarti HaKodesh B'nei Abayis. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even bringing it into the courtyard establishes it as ro'i for ma'aser shene'emar va'ochlu b'sharecha b'saveyu. So the Gemara goes on. Mishnah stated chutz min hayayim. So remember again, the Mishnah said that wine gets its own bracha of bar priyagofen. So the Gemara says, ma'ishna yayin. Why is wine different? Right? Why does wine get its own bracha? Ilema mishum de'ishtani le'iluya ishtani le'bracha. If you want to say because wine has become better, meaning that wine has gone up in its value. Well, not value over here, but wine has gone up to a higher state, right? That grapes are nice, but wine is now in a heightened state of existence. Ishtani lebracha, and therefore because it's entered into a more refined special state, therefore it gets its own bracha. V'hari shemen de ishtani le'iluya, v'lo ishtani lebracha. But yet when it comes to olive oil, so olive oil is clearly in a heightened state above and beyond the olive, and yet olive oil does not get its own bracha. We'll talk about that later. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'chein Rav Yitzchak, Amar Yochanan, Shemen Zayis, Mevarchin Alav Bari Priya Eitz. Shemen Zayis, you could go ahead and you make a bracha Bari Priya Eitz just like the olive itself. We'll say, just until you wonder, why is anybody drinking olive oil? We'll discuss that. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, so there's a beautiful winery. It's Ella Valley Winery, right in the Ella Valley, right outside of Beit Shemesh. Ella Valley is where Emek Ha'ila is, where the battle of David and Goliath happened. So there's something amazing. So when I was there, so the person who was doing the tour said, do you want to have some olive oil? I said, not really. So she said something amazing. She said that the olives that grew in that particular region were sweet. So that the olive oil itself had a sweet taste to it. We'll see, the Gemara doesn't have that version, but it's an amazing thing. So you would make a Bari Priya Eitz on olive oil as well.
There's also a book of remedies which says, a Jewish book of remedies that says about olive oil, teaspoon of olive oil every day is
good. All right, good. So you got that advice without a copay. So you see that. All right. So the Gemara says the following: Amri Hasam Mishum Delo Efshar Heichin Ibar. So the Gemara says no. The reason why you can't make a different bracha by olive oil is because what's the other bracha you're going to make? There's no other bracha. Nevarich Alei excuse me, Hechi Nevarich. Nevarich Barei Peri HaZayis, that doesn't make sense. Why? Because Pera Gufei Zayis Zikri, because the fruit itself is called the olive. V'Nevarich Alei Barei Peri Eitz HaZayis, so you can make the Recha Barei Peri Eitz HaZayis, Ela Amar Mazutra Chamra Zayin, Mashcha Lo Zayin. So Mar says, here's the difference, that wine sustains, versus olive oil that does not sustain. Umashcha lo zayin, is that true that olive oil does not sustain? But we learned hanodem min hamazon muter b'maymu melach. If someone takes a neder not to hanodem min hamazon, somebody takes a neder not to eat mazon. One is permitted to drink water and eat salt. Or in other words, that what? Every other food item comes under the umbrella of mazon. How can we the ikri mazon? So everything, it's only water and salt that are not called mazon. Everything else is called mazon, which would include olive oil. Name it to have it to you. The Rabbi Shmuel, the Amri, Ein Mevarchim, Breimini, Mazonos, Elevei, Minim, Bilvad. This would seem to be a reputation of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel say that you only make a Breimini, Mazonos on what? On things that come from the five brains. But based on this, everything is called mazon as well. Rafuna says, no, what's the case? Ba'omer kol hazan alai. The case is not where a person answers mazon, rather a person who says anything that sustains is prohibited to me. Alma mashcha zayin. So we see from here, in any event, that oil and olive oil does in fact sustain. So Gemara says, now I'll tell you why wine is different. Ela chamra soid umishcha lo soid. Wine satiates as opposed to olive oil, which does not. V'chamra misoid, does wine really satiate? V'ha rava, habashasi chamra, kom ma'ali yom adepischa, ki echi dinigre libe, v'necho ma'azat ve'tuva. So interesting enough, rava would drink wine the entire Erev Pesach. Why? In order to make himself more hungry, so that he could devour matzah with a greater intensity. So you see from here that wine doesn't satiate, wine in fact makes you hungry. To which the Gemara says, no, tuva garir, purta soid. Drinking a lot of wine makes you hungry. Drinking a little bit of wine satiates. Umisoid klal, but does wine satiate all? V'haksiv v'yayin samach levav enosh, v'lechem levav enosh nis yisod. But the pasuk says, wine makes the heart of man happy, and it is bread that satiates the heart of man, which would seem to indicate that what? It is bread that satiates, not wine. Ela chamra is beitarti. Wine has two aspects to it. Soid umisameach. Wine goes ahead and satiates and makes a person happy. Nama misad soid smuche lo misameach. Bread, on the other hand, satiates but does not make you happy. Ihachin nevarich alei shalosh brachas. If that's the case, why don't you bench after you drink wine? If wine has both of these qualities of making you happy and satiating, the Gemara says, lo kavi inish tzu'udasu aluya. People don't make a meal out of their wine. Most people, right? So because of that, you're not going to bench on it. Amli Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak L'Rava, I kava alei sudase mai. So what happens if I do make my meal out of wine? Then what? So Amrle l'chishiyava Eliyo. The Yomar, Ihavia Kivusa. So you know what? We'll save that question for when Eliyahu Hanavi comes. But right now, Hashta Miha Batla Daito Eitzel Kol Adam. But right now, your individual practices are negated by the general norm. And the general norm is that people are not Kovea Su'uda on wine. Therefore, it gets its own Bracha Rishona because it has this dual quality of, number one, satiating as well as gladdening the heart of man. But even if you're a Kovea Su'uda on it, at least for now, we'll see what Eliyahu Hanavi says. One would not bench. All right, let's stop.